You're listening to the sermon audio from City Light Church in High Point, North Carolina. For more info on our service times and location, visit citylighthp.church.
For that, I'm so grateful for the moms that are here. Let me pray, and I want to talk to you specifically today, but it's for all of us to hear as well. Father, we're grateful to be here tonight. We're grateful to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who lived a life of obscurity. A life of humility, a life of submission to the will of the Father, placing himself under the Father, all for the Father's glory. Father, that's the thought that we want to walk away with this evening. How can we be more like Jesus as we seek to live like him in humble submission? In your name we pray, amen. Well, it is Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. And Mother's Day is, it's a day when we celebrate the sacrifice and the significance of the women who have shaped our lives. And one of the passages of scripture that Zach and I were talking about earlier today, in fact, is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. The Apostle Paul, he's writing to Timothy, and he says this. He says, "I recall your sincere faith. I recall the authenticity of your faith, how you daily lived out the gospel. I recall that. It was obvious to me. It's obvious to other people. It's so impactful to me. It's so obvious that it's basically, it was hard for Paul to think about Timothy without thinking about the fact that there was this sincere faith that he regularly lived out. And then he goes on to say in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, "I recall your sincere faith." And then it says this, "that was first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am convinced in you also." Isn't that awesome? This sincere faith, this genuine faith, this authentic faith, this wholehearted commitment to Christ that you cannot manifest, you cannot manufacture it. You either have it or you don't. Paul's like, that sincere, genuine faith, I see it in you, but it didn't start with you. It didn't start with you. It started with your grandmother and your mother. And here's the reality. Here's why I want to talk to the moms, but to everybody, because we're going to talk about submission. It's a word that our culture has hijacked, and it's a critical word if we want revival, just so you know, in our city, because revival starts with the local church, and it starts with the families of the church, and if there's like messed up marriages, and if there's not a oneness in the home, you can't have revival. So I think it's appropriate that we're just kind of pausing from Jonah chapter 3 and talking about submission today. But when it comes to the life of Timothy, it's all because he had a mom who modeled the faith. Moms, we love you for a number of reasons. We love you because, I love you because when the kids are sick at night, you're the ones that are ministering to them, right? That's typically the mom. Moms are sacrificial. Moms are the counselor. Moms are the ones when your teenage son or daughter experiences their first breakup, who are you talking to? You're not talking to dad. You're talking to mom. She's the counselor. She's the person who sacrificed. She's the hardest worker in the home. She's always putting others first. Mom, you shape our lives. But here's what I'm going to talk to you about tonight. Many of you are here today because maybe it was your mom or your grandmother or maybe a spiritual mentor who happened to be a female or a faithful friendship. It's because they shaped you. They shaped you the same way that Timothy was shaped. And I believe Mother's Day, it gives us the perfect opportunity to explore a biblical truth that highlights the strength and the faith and the Christ-like character of women and the call to submission. So for some, the word submission, it might sound outdated, or maybe it's even misunderstood. But when we see through Scripture submission, I would say it isn't oppressive. It's a beautiful word. It's not weakness. I would say, know what submission is? It's strength under control. That's what submission is. Not weakness. Strength under control. It's not silence. It's trust in action. It's not being less, but really it's making the decision to live in line with God's design. And Colossians 3:18 gives us a clear Christ-centered vision for womanhood. And today we'll look at what God actually says about submission and why it's good. But before we get into the passage, let me give you a brief background of this letter, since we're kind of parachuting in. First century marriages were a mess, okay? They're really messy. First century marriages, I would say even Christian marriages, there was a huge deviation of what God had intended for marriage to be. There was not a, if you go back to the garden, when it says the two shall become one, there wasn't a oneness, there wasn't a genuine relationship. Even with Christian marriages, there's a lot of teaching on marriage in the Bible because people just misunderstood marriage, but women were often abused. They were taken advantage of. In fact, in the first century, most of the homes in the first century would have been one-level homes. And what's interesting is in these one-level homes, they would have these flat roofs, and basically the men would hang out on the rooftop. You know how we have man caves, right? Basically, the roof became the place where men would just hang out to escape their wife, to escape their children. It was their man den. I don't think they had any, like, you know, high definition 80-inch TV screens or anything like that. But basically, they set it up as a place of escape. And if they were rich enough, they would have a second level home. And get this, the men would live in the second level. They had, like, basically a suite just for themselves. Nobody else was welcome there. Just for them. And really, it was symbolic of this whole idea that the husband is over the wife and women are under him and children are under him. His wife is under him. And they're really not allowed to enter his domain. And basically, first century marriages, men were domineering, they were overbearing, and they were authoritarian. So to put it simply, women in the first century, they're viewed as secondary, which made it really hard to submit to their husbands. Are you tracking with me? Like, who wants to submit to that? And some of you, listen, we're going to Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. Let me just say this at the outset. Men, if you have to remind your wife of this verse, my guess is you're the problem and not them. Submission will be made easy by a husband who is Christ-like in their walk. A husband like Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, or in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, who is sincere in their faith, genuine in their faith, submission won't be that hard. Yes, there will be times when it'll be difficult because our flesh flares up and we all want our own way at times, right? I want my own way. I love getting my own way. If you don't like getting your own way, you're a liar, okay? We love to get our own way. But men, it should be easy. We should make it easy for our wives to follow our leadership as we're seeking to follow after Christ. And here's the problem. Women in the first century, they're viewed as secondary. But here's the deal. The gospel changes everything. And contrary to popular belief, Christianity in Scripture, it elevates the position of women. These Christian women who had experienced this new freedom in Christ, though they did a little bit of what I would like to call it, I call it the pendulum swing. Meaning, and we see this in churches sometimes, when people really discover grace and that I'm not bound by a law and I'm there's freedom in Christ. And sometimes what happens is all of a sudden people, they experience grace for the first time and they kind of go overboard a little bit. That was kind of these women a little bit. where like, hey, I too have been created in the Imago Dei, the image of God, and now I am a person too. They started to kind of push back a little bit when it came to following their husband's leadership, especially because they were being taken advantage of. And to make matters even worse, the false teachers who were already creating doctrinal division that Paul actually calls out in Colossians chapter 1, they were this thing called Gnosticism, and I don't have time to talk about it right now, but basically these false teachers were creating division within the church. And they were also trying to create family dysfunction. And as I said a few minutes ago, we want revival in our city. Strong churches are made up of strong families. And if you weaken the family, you weaken the church. So, yes, husbands, you are the head of the home, but I would just say the wife oftentimes sets the spiritual temperature of the home, okay? So here's the big idea. Here's where we're going tonight. Submission is, here's what it is, ladies, if you're wondering, what is submission? Submission is strength expressed in surrender to Christ. That's what I would say submission is. It's strength expressed in surrender to Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verse 18 says this, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Now, I understand not every person in the room is married, okay? I understand not every person in the room is female, but we all, and we're going to see here in a minute, like we're all required to live in submission. So this definition works for all of us. It's strength expressed in surrender to Christ. Now, before we get to the meat of the passage, let me first tell you what submission is not, okay? That's really important. Because I think sometimes maybe people don't want to submit because there's a wrong understanding of what submission is or isn't. Here's what submission is not. It's not inferiority. Submission does not mean that men are superior and women are inferior. They're, as I hinted at a moment ago, both are made in the image of God. Both men and women are co-heirs with Christ. They both share the Holy Spirit. They both possess the gifts of the Spirit. By no means, husband, wife, men, male, female, okay? Women are not inferior. Submission is not slavery. The wife is free to become all that God intended her to be. You know, a lot of times we go to the passage, you know, you go Mother's Day and there's nothing wrong with preaching this. Proverbs chapter 31 is actually a really, I talked to the men about this when we had our men's meeting. I talked about the, you know, how Boaz was essentially the Proverbs 31 man because that same word for virtue that's found in Proverbs 31 is the same Hebrew word when spoken of Boaz. When he's introduced in the book of Ruth, he's called a man of valor. Same Hebrew word, a man of virtue. We all should be virtuous. In the Proverbs 31 woman, like she was an entrepreneur. She was a homemaker. She was a clothes designer. I mean, she was doing a lot of things. So I bring that up simply to say like submission is not like this, like you're bound in chains to the home and you can't live out the design that God intended for you. Submission is not passivity, meaning I take no responsibility. It doesn't mean that the wife becomes the passive partner in the relationship. It doesn't mean blind loyalty, as if the husband is infallible and she should never push back in the right way. Submission doesn't mean I agree. Like, you can have your differing opinion. And I would even say, use that differing opinion in a humble way to seek to win your husband over to your side. A wife should constantly seek to influence her husband. I know, listen, you guys know my wife. And it's, for those of you who are old enough to remember the commercial, like E.F. Hutton, remember E.F. Hutton? When E.F. Hutton speaks, what do? We listen. When E.F. Hutton speaks, you listen. When Miriam McCarthy speaks, okay? What do? You better listen, boy. And I would say my wife, she lives quietly to a certain degree, but she expresses her thoughts and her feelings, and she is very helpful to me in decision-making. I would say more often than not, I am swayed more her way oftentimes when it comes to major decisions. There's a wisdom there. It's called this women's intuition or something like that. It's a real thing, men, okay? Submission is not incompetency. It doesn't mean the wife is less valuable. It doesn't mean the wife is less competent or intelligent. The beauty of marriage is that we complement each other. When I think of my wife, I was saying before, like, when the kids are sick, they don't come see dad. And that is true, by the way. They always go to mom. Because Mary, one of the things I really appreciate about my wife is I'm like, girl, you could have been making us a whole lot more money with how much you know about the human body. Like, why didn't you study this in college? You know, because, I mean, she loves medicine. She loves to research. And she's into, like, all this homeopathic. She's kind of like a witch doctor. Okay. But I love that about my wife. Submission does not mean hierarchy. The husband-wife relationship is a lot like the Trinitarian relationship. So when you think about the Trinity, is the Father God? Yes or no? I promise you, this is not a trick question. You need to know this. This is orthodoxy, folks. Okay? No trick questions here. Is the Father God? Yeah, all right, there, man, you're saying like you mean it. You're like, oh, shoot, okay. All right, is Jesus God? Is the Holy Spirit God? Okay. Are they equal when it comes to the Godhead? Yes. Yes, they are. Do they have different functions within the Trinitarian? Yeah, you are sounding a little less confident, but that's okay. That's okay. This is sometimes the Trinity is like the... These are some deep theological truths. I get it. Okay, I get it. But yeah, they have different roles. They have different roles. They're equally God, but they're still, even though they're equal, there's still order and structure within the Trinity. There's still a division of labor. There's a division of responsibility within the Trinity, even though they are equally God. The Son, who is equal with God, he actually submits to the Father, right? Not my will, but yours be done. So the husband and wife, here's what I want you to understand. We are equal. We're equal, but we're different. Our roles are different. Submission is not everybody, meaning a wife's submission only applies to her husband. Submission does not speak to an arena outside the home. And I would say this, like, I think we have to, especially as Christians, we should model in the workplace. If we have a female boss as Christians, we should model submission to that female boss in a very Christ-like way. Submission is not immorality. Ladies, meaning, here's what I mean by this. If your spouse ever asks you to do something that's contrary to God's word, you are not required to submit. Okay? If he asks you to do something that goes against your conscience, you are not required to submit. All right? So, with that in mind, submission is not silence, suppression, or second-class citizenship in the home. It's a sacred strength under the lordship of Christ. So again, submission is strength expressed in surrender to Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. Here's the verse. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. What Christ-like submission is, number one, ladies, I would say you got to make it. It's a daily lifestyle. That's what Christ-like submission is. It's an everyday lifestyle. Although Paul is addressing women, the sermon is for every person. Submission for all of us is to be a daily lifestyle for every Christian in the room. We have, all of us in the room have a responsibility to submit daily. Let me share some examples with scripture so we know that we're all required to live a life of submission. And we have the responsibility to submit to governmental authority. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. Okay, listen, parents in the room, let's just be honest. Like, I don't always like to submit to the government. I don't. Okay, those whole speed limit things, I sometimes think they don't apply to me, okay? It's just for the other people, you know? But let's be honest. There are things, the government is our authority. One of the ways we can model humility to our children and model that we too are under authority and under the lordship of Christ is by living out submission to governmental authority. And there's a whole lot I could say about that, but that's not the point of the sermon. What are some other ways, though? We are to submit. Submit to church leaders. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for what would be of no advantage to you. Like, listen, gospel confusion in the home starts when you fail to submit to any type of authority. When you fail to submit to governmental authority, it creates gospel confusion with your children. When you fail to submit to your church authority, and we try not to be like this authoritative, hierarchical church, like I am the exalted man and you know, you do as I say. We really try to stay away from that culture. And if you ever have questions, I understand. I'm a strong leader, but open door. You can come talk to me at any time. We can sit down and we're going to have a nice, cool coffee shop. And I might even give you a free cup of coffee in there. All right. But I understand, like, it's hard sometimes when you're not in agreement with even your church leaders, like things like building projects. Everybody has an opinion on a building project, and I get it. But what's required of us isn't submission, isn't agreement, but it's still trusting. So what submission means, I'm still going to trust and yield. I'm still going to follow. I'm still going to support. Submission, we have to submit to God's word and God's will on a daily basis. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. We are to submit to our employers, Ephesians 6, 5 and 6. We are to submit to one another. Ephesians 5, 21 says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Like, it's this whole idea of we relinquish our rights to each other within the body, like you before me. So write this down, or I encourage you to write this down. I don't want to be an authoritative, domineering pastor and put you in a place where you don't want to submit. So I encourage you to write this down. Every spirit-filled Christian is a submitting Christian. You want that manifest presence of God in this church that Gray mentioned? We want to see his manifest presence. We want to see him at work in a powerful way. Well, I would say every spirit-filled Christian is a submitting Christian. Christ modeled a daily lifestyle of submission. He continually, think about the life of Christ. He was continually placing himself under authority. It started in Luke chapter 2. When he's lost and they'd left Passover, they're on their way home and like, where's Jesus? Can't find him. And he says to his parents, like, didn't you know I'd be about my father's business? But he still treated his parents respectfully. He still honored his parents, even as a child. He honored his father in following the father's plan for his life and for his ministry. He even submitted to his enemies. He submitted to the governmental authorities. He submitted to the Father when he said, "Not my will, but yours be done." He submitted to the Father's will before going to the cross. His life was a daily lifestyle of submission. So what Christ-like submission is it's all-consuming. It's a daily lifestyle. That's number one. But let's get into the passage here. Number two, it's a willing choice. It says, wives, submit. That word submit means to place under. It involves a decision of the will. Place yourself under. It's the idea of, although you have rights, I have rights right now, I'm going to relinquish them. I'm going to let go. It's placing yourself under, arranging yourself under your husband's leadership. It is a willing choice. It's a voluntary response. One thing we have to remember, men, as we're talking about this, is the husband, by the way, is never told to command submission, just so you know. Nowhere in the Bible is the husband told to command submission. And we should never force submission. The responsibility is on the wife to place herself under in a voluntary way because she believes it's part of her God-given role. So I love what John Piper writes. He says, biblical submission for the wife is the divine calling to honor and affirm her husband's leadership and help carry it through according to her gifts. Isn't that really good? I'll say it again. Biblical submission for the wife is the divine calling to honor and affirm her husband's leadership and help carry it through according to her gifts. In this verse, Colossians 3:18, along with Ephesians 5:22, 1 Peter 3:6, Titus 2:5, 1 Corinthians 11:3, it is one of the most controversial and widely challenged verses in the Bible today. Christians who actually believe this and women who actually seek to do this are accused of either being chauvinistic or patriarchal. But when you study scripture, submission for women goes all the way back to creation. And it's not a result of Adam's fall in the Garden of Eden, by the way. Eve was created as a helper for Adam. Genesis 2:18, then the Lord God said, "It's not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him." Of course, the word helper does not by itself imply submission, but helping can be done by someone who has greater authority, by someone who has equal authority, and by someone who has lesser authority than the one who is being helped. But the person who is helping puts himself in a subordinate role to the person who has the responsibility for the activity. So let me share an example. So I don't do it anymore. I can still do it with Judah. Math homework. We'll use that example. Math homework. Judah's in fifth grade, so we're still good there. All right? I can help with that. What happens is my son is the one responsible for the math homework, right? When I help him, even though I am in authority, so to speak, in his life, he's the authority when it comes to turning in the math paper. Does that make self? Make sense? So even though I'm above him in life, I'm placing myself under him, okay? He has the greater authority. He's turning it in. I have the lesser authority. I'm taking on a lesser role. Well, back in the Garden of Eden before the fall, God made Eve to be Adam's helper. He says, "I will make for him a helper fit for him." That's how the Hebrew reads. Eve's role and what God had in mind when he created her was that she would place herself under Adam as his helper. Now, let's not get sidetracked. Remember what we said earlier about women. Not inferior, created in God's image, equal but different. This is exactly how Jesus Christ interacted with the Father. He willingly placed himself under the Father. And ladies, Christ-like submission is not like, man, I have to do this. I have to. It's not an I have to. It's in a I desire to. Out of gratitude for the gospel, out of a desire to be more like Christ, I am going to seek to do this. And I know my God's going to give me grace to do this. Submission is strength expressed in surrender to Christ. So what's Christ-like submission? It's a daily lifestyle. It's a willing choice. And then number three, it's a heart condition. Christ-like submission is a heart condition. Since all of us are required to live a life of submission, we must all take notice of what Paul writes next. He says, wives, submit your husbands. And then he says this, as is fitting in the Lord. This is the part of the verse that we usually don't drill down on. Hey, I'm supposed to submit. But that's a really key phrase right there. As is fitting in the Lord. Have you ever heard that phrase? You know that phrase, you're not the right fit? Familiar with that phrase? You're not the right fit? Maybe it's after a job interview and they say all these things about you. And at the end, they're like, yeah, but you're just not the right fit. Or maybe it's hopefully not a dating relationship. Or, you're not the right fit. Or maybe it's part of a team. But here's essentially what they're saying. You don't look the part. You don't possess the values. You don't have the qualities. It's just a nice, you're not the right fit. It's a nice way of saying you don't have what we're looking for. I'm sorry to newsflash. I'm sorry. Okay. But that's it. You don't have what we're looking for. I have standards and you don't meet them. Submission is the heart condition, though, that God demands of every Christian. He wants to see in you and me the same thing that he saw in his son, as is fitting in the Lord. He wants to see you humbling yourself. He wants to see you, as is fitting in the Lord, laying down your rights. He wants to see all of us serving others and doing the will of another. And the Christian ladies in Colossae specifically, but all of us when it comes to submission, this is a challenge. It's a struggle. Hey, I'm free in Christ. Don't tell me what to do. But the gospel radically changes us. And Paul's letting these church ladies specifically, who were doing a lot for the Lord, by the way, he's letting them know that, hey, you're not playing the part that God expects. He's challenging them to live a life that is modeled after their Savior. He's challenging them to live a life that is fitting in the Lord. So if you're like me, at this point, when I really drill down on verses like this, you kind of feel a little bit defeated sometimes, right? Like, man, this doesn't feel very good. I thought I was supposed to come to church and kind of be encouraged. Well, thinking about your inability to submit to government regulations, maybe, or your difficult spouse. Listen, the good news is we don't have to do this perfectly. That's where the gospel comes in. Like, Jesus modeled perfectly what it looks like to live humbly and to submit himself entirely, all the way to the point of death, even death on a cross. He died. He paid for your sin, your sin of insubmission. He paid for that sin. So not just so that you can spend eternity with him someday if you put your faith and trust in Christ and him alone for eternal life, but he also gave you the ability to live this in victory. So as we go here, what we have to remember is the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel is submission, go back to the big idea, is strength expressed in surrender to Christ. If I surrender myself to Christ and his gospel, that is when I will be able to submit. So, wrapping it all up, Christ-like submission isn't about losing your voice. It's about losing your life to point to Jesus. That's what it is. And in a world like today that confuses value with visibility and strength with control, the gospel calls us to something way bigger and better. So if you're a wife or a mother or a single woman or a husband or a dad or a single male, the call is all the same. That's what we have to see tonight. We want revival. We want the manifest presence of God. Next week, we're going to see a whole city come to know the Lord. You want your teenager to know the Lord. You want your college prodigal kid to come back to the Lord. Well, the call is the same for all of us tonight. Live your life as a reflection of Jesus. That's the call. Live your life as a reflection of Jesus. Willing and surrendered to the Father. So submission, it isn't just for marriage or just for the women in the home. It's a daily lifestyle of saying to God, not my will, but yours be done. That's what it is. Not my will, but yours be done. And that is worship. Not my will, but yours be done. That's worship. So let's stand together and let's close our time by worshiping and saying, not my will, but yours be done, as Gray and Crystal lead us.